Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Trying to convert a big third down here. Back, blitz coming, throws. Washington's got it. First down, 50. Breaks away, far sideline, 40. He's to the 30. 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Penn State. They needed to be the next team to score, and they did it. Clifford on second and 10. Back to pass. Sawyer goes at him. Clifford takes off. Throws it downfield. He's got Johnson open at the 30. Far sideline, 25. And a first down for the Nittany Lions at the Ohio State 25-yard line. What a fabulous play by Clifford. First and 10, Ohio State, 23-yard line, far hash, attacking the south end zone to our right. Clifford wants the throw, waits, over the middle, caught at the 5, goal line, touchdown, Penn State, Keon Lambert-Smith, the Nittany Lions take the lead. Trips near side, one far side, trying to get the lead before the half. Stroud directs traffic, takes it, wants the throw, hit it, down he goes, and Penn State a fumble on the play. The Nittany Lions will stop the half with Ohio State at point-blank range, and they get nothing. Fourth and one. They'll go for it. Sweeping to his right, Clifford breaks a tackle. Stretch, stretch, stretch. That's far enough. First down, Penn State. He did get it. Clifford on third down and 5, their own 38, far hash. Going right to left as we see it. Takes the snap, back to pass, rolls right, delivers. Washington's got it, first down at the 45-yard line. They lined up Washington in the backfield that time and circled them out. Fourth and inches just outside the goal line. A defining moment right here. Penn State looks for the lead. Allen left side, hit, drives to the goal line, got it, touchdown Penn State. The Nittany Lions take the lead with 9:26 to go. See, Penn State can knock it in one more time here with 1:19 left. Two near side, one far side. Clifford goes back, looks in the end zone, steps up, looks, waits, delivers. Allen, touchdown Penn State. 1:12 left. 44-30.
Oh, good afternoon, everybody. It is the Steve Jones Show on Halloween. Happy Halloween to you all. Matt Catrillo here with you. Steve will soon be there from the Sunbury Motor Studio as we try to heal from a tough one on Saturday. No doubt about that. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. And online at sunburymotors.com. Ford Kia Hyundai, great selection of new and pre-owned inventory. And whether you're looking for that brand new car, looking for a used car, sales staff is there for you to make sure you make the right choice. And a service department that is also there for you for whatever vehicle you choose. With the diagnostics, the inspections, all the routine maintenance, all part of the Sunbury Motors guarantee, which also includes in that service department many awesome technicians, but now SMC is looking for more. They're looking for entry-level and experienced technicians to work in their quick lane, car light truck service, heavy truck service, body frame and alignment, and towing departments. Whether you are an experienced technician, an entry-level technician looking for your first job, or someone looking for a career change, they would love to hear from you. Stop by in person, apply online at sunburymotors.com, or call Todd at 286-7746. All at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. And every Monday show brought to you by our friends at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Home, auto, life, business, whatever you need to make sure you protect yourself, you got you covered. And we got a tough one to talk about there, Steve. That was a tough one Saturday, no doubt.
Well, no doubt. No doubt about that. You know, you end up watching a game where both teams fight their guts out. And then all of a sudden, there's an avalanche. And Ohio State, which is such an, you know, I mean, a very talented team, without question. And when they needed to turn it loose, they turned it loose. And that's to their credit. The four turnovers, you can't turn it over four times, period. And you can't be minus four, especially giveaway, takeaway. Where you don't get any, and the other team gets 21 points off of takeaways. There's several elements to that. Number one, turning the ball over, okay, bad. Number two, they get 21 points off of takeaways, right? On a day where you scored 31, by the way, bad. Which now gets to the point about the scoring of the 31. And the scoring of the 31 means that those are also four empty trips by your offense. On a day where you're moving the ball. You're moving the ball, and you turn it over four times, which means it's four empty trips for your offense, on top of the fact that, for obvious reasons, we all know how bad turnovers are to begin with. So that's not, you know, I mean, we all, you know, anybody knows that. 21 points off it. I finally decided the only play I looked at in the game, and I watched it this morning because I just wanted to at least see it, was the interception for a touchdown by JTT. And my first thought was when I was watching from where I was, you know, well, you know, it looked like he threw it right to him. No. I did not realize until this morning what a thoroughly great play that was by him. Leaping in the air at an angle to go up and then grabbing it. And I go, holy mackerel. What a phenomenal play he made. And, I mean, it was, I mean, legitimately, that was a phenomenal play. But you can't have that. You get into a game like that, you can't have that. Okay? You can't turn the ball over. 21 points off of takeaways, that's the difference in the game. On a day where you had four drives for touchdowns of 73 yards or better. I mean, four drives of 73 yards or better in the game for touchdowns. Wow. So then that goes back to, it's not just the four turnovers which kill you and change field position and give a team a chance at points. Big. But on a day where you're moving it, that's four empty possessions where you took away the possibility of you moving the football. Now, this is going to be one that's going to go counter to most people, because when the game is lost, to certain parts of the fan base, their quote will be, it's James Franklin's fault. I thought that was a really well-coached game by Penn State. Really well-coached. I thought they had them really prepared during the week. You could see it. I thought Manny Diaz called a terrific game. They were blowing up all those bubble screens. You know how many missed tackles Penn State had in the game on Saturday? You know how many? Four. The whole day, four. Wow. And then offensively, I thought Mike Yurcich called a really good game. They had Ohio State off balance in a lot of ways on both sides. You know, there can be a debate, obviously, as to the one fourth down call to start the second half where Penn State had a fourth and two. I thought they got a bad spot on that, by the way. The Big Ten is... It's one bone of contention I've had with Big Ten officials forever. I've always felt like every time you turn around, they move the ball back all the time. Like, what are you doing? It's not where the ball is. It's where the ball is. All right? And I thought it was going to be a fourth and one, and all of a sudden, you know, you're like, oh, it's fourth and two. Now you're kind of getting, when it's fourth and two or three, you feel like that's the gray area. Four, you kick a field goal. If anybody calls up the show right now and says he should have taken the points, I'm not going to argue with you. It would have made it a four-point game. And if you look back on the game, what was Ohio State's next score? It was actually a field goal. Now, you don't know that when you do it. But James had told me earlier in the week, he says, I'll be honest with you. He says, this is the kind of team. He said, after watching the Iowa game, he says, this is the kind of team you got to score touchdowns against them. So before they went for it on fourth down, I brought up that conversation we had. It's one of the reasons why you have those conversations, so you can at least relate to the audience at least what the thought process was going in. So do I think he was wrong for going in on fourth down there? No. If you were to call up and tell me he should have kicked the field goal, would I tell you you're wrong? No, I wouldn't. I could have gone with either one there. I understand his thought process as to why. And if you were to call up and talk about the field goal, I'd understand your thought process why. But other than that, the other times he went for it on fourth down, they got all of them. The other three they got were all, you know, the right calls, right times. Right? They lined up that one time in the diamond, ran the quarterback draw to Sean Clifford. That felt like the pitcher's just starting to go into his windup, and the batter calls time and is granted. You're like, no, I've started my windup here. What are we doing? And that's, to me, they were well prepared, and I thought they were well coached. I think they had Ohio State off balance and at times a little bit confused. In the end, it didn't pay off. Ohio State finally, and then the fourth quarter, and I talked openly about this on the broadcast with Jack. I said, look, let's be honest here. It was 30-21 at the time. And you guys know how, you know, you try to think through the game. That's part of our job on the broadcast, is to think through the game with you, to tell you, to anticipate maybe a situation coming up, right? And I said, look, I said, I'm looking at the time here, and I think it was like five and a half minutes to go, and it's 30-24 Ohio State. And I said, I think there are probably, for Penn State, two more possessions left in the game. I said, so they've got to get a drive here, and no matter what, I said, points. I don't, it's whether it's a field goal or a touchdown, get points. I said, then look at your defense and tell them to do what they've been doing a good chunk of the day and get a stop. And then I said, now you can go for it on every fourth down and throw everything you have to go in and try and win at 31-30. Now, they drove downfield. They got the field goal. He's thinking the same thing we were thinking, as I brought it up in the post game, as you heard on Inside Penn State Athletics with him. He's thinking the same thing that we talked about. Field goal, then throw it on your defense. Well, it turned out that we all know it didn't turn out. They got three plays, 75 yards, and now that idea goes out the door. It's 37-24. But he was thinking along the same lines about number of possessions left, how to play it, so forth. I mean, situationally, he had it right. He had it right on the money. So I know it's easy to sit there and say, oh, lousy job. No, they actually were well prepared. Now, Kyle, is this on Twitter?
Yes.
Where exactly were the trick plays that we were told we most assuredly were going to happen? Well, Kyle, tell me which moments you wanted to see trick plays. Where did they need trick plays? They scored 31 points. Okay? Trick plays are set up. It also has to go with the position of the field. And part of it also goes to how you practiced a couple of them during the course of the week. And so it's situational. So when they ran the trick play when it came to Lambert Smith and the throwback to Clifford. They went down and they had run a couple plays that had gotten Auburn in that direction. So when they ran it, it was a perfect setup and they were able to throw back. So you got to set those up sometimes. There are other times where you're moving the ball and you don't feel like you need to do it. To be honest with you, I mean, a lot of it is, it's there. Not only they didn't practice them. I'll give you an example. Let's go back to Joe's era. Penn State's playing Michigan State. They ran a fake field goal where they direct snapped to Kevin Kelly, who took it. I think they were. It was a short field. It was going to be like a 21-yard attempt or something like that. And he snapped it to Kelly. He went over the left side. He scored a touchdown. Kyle, do you know how many weeks that play was in? They practiced that play. I watched them practice that play for 7 weeks. And the reason it got used in the Michigan State game is they were finally in a spot and a position to use that play. Right? To be honest with you, thinking back in the game, I never once thought about maybe they ought to run the trick play here or whatever. No. I never thought about it. Because they were moving the ball. They had something going in the running game. All right? Washington's having a big day for you. Just because they're there doesn't mean you have to use them. Just because they're there doesn't mean they have to use them. I mean, you ought to see some trick plays I see on tape from other teams during the course of a season. You know, I'll be watching tapes and I'm going, okay. And then they play Penn State, they don't use it. Okay. It's got to be right place, right time, right situation, and whether you think you need it. To be honest with it, I don't think, thinking back at the game, there was not one point where I thought, oh, here's the point where I think maybe they ought to use that. Because sometimes it comes up, I'll think in my mind, I wonder if they might use it here. It never came up to me on Saturday because I felt like they were getting what they needed on a day, to be honest with you, where they're only playing with 60% of their starters in the offensive line. Now, Hunter Norzad and Bryce Heffner are both, in the minds of the coaching staff, starters. But keep in mind, they're starters in the mode of being between 25 and 35 play a game. 25 to 35 plays a game is normally their participation. They're not usually 80-play guys, but they had to be because both Landon and Caton were out. And believe me, Ohio State had guys out too. So I'll give you. Ohio State didn't have Jackson Smith and Jigba. Big loss. Didn't have Cameron Brown, one of their defensive backs. Did not have their long snapper, Bradley Robinson. So both sides had guys out. All right? Penn State's offensive line, it happened to be a spot where two of their guys were out and two other guys had to move up. And not only in moving up and starting, had to play more plays than they're normally used to playing. Now, Norzad had started the week before, so it wasn't like Hunter wasn't used to doing it. But still, that's still more plays than you usually play. Not an excuse, just saying that's an interesting point in the game that you're out there with 60% of your starting offensive line, which meant the two guys that rotate a lot in that are considered starters now have to really go all the way, and there's really nobody. You really feel comfortable rotating in at that point. But they scored 31. You know, Ohio State was 4-12 in third down. Penn State was 6-16. You know, there's a whole bunch of areas where, but again, it's the turnovers, the points off of turnovers, which also meant on a day where you're moving the ball, empty possessions as well. It's like the trifecta of disaster when it comes to one segment of the game. You run 80 plays. 76 you feel fine about, 4 you feel like the bottom of the well. All right, we'll take a break, and boy, Stroud spins it, doesn't he? That throw that he made to Ibuka down the side, Johnny Dixon can't have better coverage. Great coverage. Perfect throw. Great, nice catch. The in-cut he needed to Harrison, and Harrison's such a good prospect, and he's got to be there another year, by the way. Harrison's a true sophomore. Stroud, by the way, he's a sophomore. He's a third-year player. That's why he's eligible for the draft. Harrison is not. That ain't cut to Harrison. Coverage is fine. Perfect throw. Great spot. The guy catches everything. All right, Rich Scarcella next here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. While Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday. Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, RV, boat, motorcycle, whatever it may be. Could be bundles. They'll do everything they can to save you money. All at Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Joined now by the outstanding Rich Scarsella, Reading Eagle. Sir, welcome. Thank you so much for your time today.
Oh, my pleasure, Steve. Anytime.
All right, so you watched how it played out Saturday. What were your thoughts as it played out, and then your post-game thoughts, and how much did they differ from your in-game thoughts?
Well, in-game thoughts, I tweeted with 9:26 left that Penn State was the better team to that point, and they were. And Penn State's defense, I thought, to that point, played a great game, played just a fantastic game. Not perfect, but very, very good. Keeping an offense like that in check for that long a period of time was a superb job. Offensively, they managed to hang in there with Ohio State despite the two turnovers in the first half and made plays when they had to make them, both in the run game and the pass game. You know, and I, you know, had to be feeling very good at 21-16, and I, you know, it's funny. I think everybody who I saw before the game predicted a score like I did. I picked Ohio State 35-25, and usually that doesn't follow, as you know. When everybody thinks a game is going to go one way, it doesn't go that way. And it looked like with 9:26 left that Penn State had a very good opportunity to win that game. Obviously, things changed, we know, and we can get into that.
And so let's talk about that. Then the game does change, and when it changed, what did you see?
Well, after the touchdown by Catron Allen put Penn State ahead, Ohio State, very wisely, Ryan Day, very smart, went to a tempo offense and prevented Manny Diaz from making adjustments, you know, during, you know, pre-snap adjustments. And those three, they moved down the field in three plays at 75 yards. And you're wondering, well, the defense, you know, did play well, and yeah, maybe they were tired, but they really weren't, because Penn State had that long drive and then they had the quarter break. So they shouldn't really have been winded, but what I think what Ohio State doing that, and Jair Brown said it after the game, is that really prevented Penn State from making those pre-snap adjustments. That's on that side of the ball. Obviously, on the other side of the ball, the two turnovers in that 6 minute span,
yep.
The fumble and the strip sack and the interception, that's everything. And so I think it's the offense and defense didn't come up big in those final 9 minutes when the game was decided.
Right. So it's interesting because I talked about the turnovers earlier. You have to, I mean, because it's the game.
Yeah.
No question. I said they did three things to me in the game, two of which it's obvious to everybody, but there's a third one that people don't think about, and that is, one, okay, you turned the ball over, awful. Two, they get 21 points out of it, awful. But three, on a day where you're moving the ball and have four drives of 73 yards or better, those end up being four empty possessions for you that on a day where you're moving it.
Yes, yes. You mean the flip side of the turnovers?
Yes.
I'm not sure I followed you there, Steve, with the long drives.
In other words, you've had four drives of 73 yards or better. That's evidence that you've been moving the ball.
Yes,
in the game.
Yes, yes. I see what you're saying now. Right. Yes, and now, yes, of course. Penn State had, from the beginning of the game, even with the turnovers on the first two possessions, they had no trouble moving the football against Ohio State. Not at all. And at the end, outgained Ohio State. But that wasn't an issue like it was at Michigan. You were able to move the football, both, like I said, on the ground and in the air. But you can't, you know, James Franklin said it after the game, you can't turn the ball over four times and expect to beat a team, a quality, high, you know, a superb team like Ohio State. And I know fans are frustrated. I know, and, you know, talking to a few people, you know, the players are frustrated, you know, families are frustrated. Nobody's pointing fingers or anything. They're just tired of losing these games, and that's, I understand that frustration. And, you know, you played, and especially this one where you played so well for so long and then gave up the lead.
I think that's well put. I think, you know, the fans are frustrated, the players are frustrated, the coaches are frustrated.
Yeah.
Everybody's frustrated because you're right there, and still in the end, they end up winning the football game. Frustration all around for everybody. You mentioned the ability, you mentioned Ohio State going with pace. That's what they'll face this week, is pace. And I'm sure that's going to be one of the things Manny Diaz has to take a look at. How do you address the pace of Indiana? Because you can't change unless they change. See, in Ohio State, they did a great job of not changing. Ohio State doesn't change their personnel anyway. I mean, they don't. I mean, they don't bring in a separate sub-package offensively.
No, Ohio State doesn't. No, you could see that during those two 75-yard drives, you know, late in the fourth quarter. They were just snapping quickly. They got their play calls. You know, and I haven't said this yet, and I'm going to guess that you've either talked about it or we'll talk about it. C.J. Stroud is a pretty darn good quarterback. Oh. I mean, my goodness. He's special. He's very special. And I was really impressed with him, probably more so, believe it or not, than even Marvin Harrison. Now, Marvin Harrison is a terrific wide receiver, but I was just so impressed with Stroud, not only with his poise in the pocket, but the way he delivers the football, and it's something to behold. It's really something pretty to watch.
Well, the two passes that stick out to me that he threw, one was the long pass down the sideline to Emeka Ebuka. Johnny Dixon has fabulous coverage on it. No issue. Yep. And he drops that ball right into the one spot that's perfect in stride. The other one was the in cut to Harrison, which is also covered, and it was off a blitz, and just a great throw. He just spins it.
Yeah, and you've got to be, you know, defense has to be on at or near its best to beat somebody as talented as that. And I think again, for what was it? 51 minutes or 50 and a half minutes, they did. I mean, Ohio State had 263 yards with 9:26 left and had 16 points and had been averaging 49. And then, obviously, the roof caved in, and that was that. But, you know, Penn State played really well for a long period of time. They needed to finish, and they didn't.
Right, and that's in the end, that's what it is. What kind of fan feedback have you had? Because you're going to get fan feedback on what you do.
I think there are a few things. One, I mean, they're very tired of losing to the better teams. I mean, we're talking about 11 straight losses to top 10 teams, and I think people understand you're not, you know, against top 10 teams, you're not going to have a great record, but 11 straight losses has bothered the fans. The other thing is, of course, the quarterback position. I like Sean Clifford. I wrote today his work ethic, his leadership, we can go down the list, are exemplary. But I think the fans are just tired of him, and they have fatigue from him, and that's unfair or not. I think that's they want to see a change, and you know, this is going to be interesting to see how James navigates this the rest of the regular season. I don't think he's going to change starters. Maybe I'm wrong, but I do think we may see more of Drew Allar these last four regular season games.
I was asked on SiriusXM last week when I was a guest about why the fans are mixed towards Sean Clifford. And the two reasons I gave, I said, one, I said, he's in his sixth year. I said, so he's been there over and over and over again. I said, and Penn State also has the shiny new object, and that's Drew Allar. And the fans,
yes,
I think, want to see the shiny new object, even though they don't really know that much about the shiny new object.
Good point. I just think, yeah, I think there are a lot. I mean, I heard this when Sean announced his decision to come back for this year. I received a lot of feedback and most of the feedback was negative. Mm-hmm. And it's a shame. I mean, he has played very well at times. He has done some really, really good things, and then other times, obviously, he's not. And he knows that he can't commit four turnovers, no matter whose fault it is. But I think that's the whole thing with Sean, has been his inconsistency, and especially in big spots. I think that's what's really affected the fans or really bothered the fans. But, you know, I mean, he's given his all. I mean, what he did last year, you know, playing through whatever he had, impressed the heck out of me and showed his toughness.
Okay. I do have to ask you a quick Yankees question. Do they re-sign Aaron Judge in your gut?
Yes.
See, now you just made the other guy happy. There you go.
That's a gut. I don't know anything. I mean, I know people who cover the Yankees, but I don't know anything.
Yeah, no, I understand. That's why I said in your gut. That's why I didn't say you had any knowledge. Number two, how badly does Aaron Rodgers need a big-time receiver?
I think they need some big-time defensive players. Their defense looked terrible last night for the first three quarters. I think I would love them to get somebody who's in his prime, and not somebody who might be, you know, on the downwards slope, like an A.J. Green or whoever. Maybe a D.J. White with Carolina. That would be good. You know, especially with Lazard. Lazard's only going to be out this. Was only going to be out this week. We'll see.
Right.
I thought they looked really good in the second half offensively. The running game was terrific. And the problem was you were behind. And, you know, the pass rush, they couldn't handle Buffalo's pass rush. So, it's been as a Packers fan, it's been frustrating. And we haven't been 3-5 as a fan, the fandom. We haven't been there for a long time. I got to ask you, as a Red Sox fan, are the Red Sox going to re-sign Bogaerts and Devers?
They darn well better. I mean, he has to understand there's a certain way to construct the team in the market you're in. There's a way to construct your team in Tampa, which he did. You can't use the Tampa formula in New York, Los Angeles, or Boston, or even Philadelphia. So guess what? You got an owner with deep pockets? Use them.
Yeah, and that's the way I feel about the Yankees, too. And I know some people who are based in New York or have been based in New York have written that in the last couple of weeks. Look, you're the New York Yankees, start acting like it. You know, and if you take, you know, take the criticism, so what? So I'm hoping they go out and get a shortstop. We'll see.
Yeah, and I mean, and I realize that John Henry, who, by the way, I mean, they're in the position they've been in this century because of what he's done. I mean, as the owner, they've been able to spend money, and they won 4 titles. So he owns Liverpool, he owns the Penguins, and you and I both know that LeBron's one of the part owners, and LeBron wants a team in Las Vegas. Well, do you think really he's going to pay for that? Well, to me, you spend the money on the Red Sox, your prime one first, then you give LeBron the money he needs to buy the Las Vegas expansion team.
Yeah. I mean, they're both franchises have lots and lots of money, the Yankees and the Red Sox. And I'm looking at it from a Red Sox. I mean, I know a lot, not just you, I know a lot of Red Sox fans. I still have trouble seeing when I see him play. I can't believe the Red Sox didn't sign Mookie Betts. I just shake my head. I'm like, I can't believe that. And so I can't imagine that they're going to lose these two guys. I just can't see it happening.
Okay. Mookie Betts, right, in my opinion, is a Babe Ruth trade or selling 101 years later.
Yeah.
He may not be Ruth, but in this modern era, that's what I looked at it as. I said, you guys have already made this mistake once. What are you doing? But that's me.
Yeah.
See, Rich and I could talk about anything, so it's all good.
I mean, if you want to, go ahead, shoot. I love talking baseball. Donnie Collins and I try to keep our baseball talk, kind of quiet in the Beaver Stadium press box because people get offended. But you know, we both love baseball so much.
Yeah, same here. I love it too. Hey, Rich, always a pleasure. Thanks a lot for your time today. I really appreciate it.
Steve, anytime. I'll see you out in Bloomington.
Sounds great. Thanks, Rich.
You got it.
Rich Scarcella, Reading Eagle.
You, sir, are my hero!
What, because he said Aaron Judge was going to sign with the Yankees?
No, because he repeated what I've been saying this whole time. You're the New York Yankees. Act like it.
It's always easy when it's not your money. I mean, you're very free with other people's money, I noticed. No.
I'm free when you've got billions and billions to spend. Then I'll be free with it.
All right, Matt Leon, next half hour. Great to have you with us today as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by our great friends at the Outstanding Purdy Insurance.
The weather is getting cooler and the leaves are changing in central PA. Hi, this is Season from Purdy Insurance. If your current agent is falling short, it's time to give Purdy Insurance a call. We're a local, family-owned independent agency ready to find the right insurance to fit your needs. You can call us at 570-286-5855, stop in our office on Market Street in Sunbury, or head to our website at purdyinsurance.com to find out what we can do for you.
Yeah, two of our players were saw the one video, it's the 10-on-1, pretty bad. I'm going to let our athletic director, Ward Manuel, address it with the authorities, and I have to talk about the football game the rest of the way. Maybe Ward would want to come up and talk. Get more detail to it, but it's pretty open and shut. I mean, one of our players has a nasal injury, could be a broken nose. Just very unfortunate.
Yeah. So Michigan State has suspended 4 players. They suspended linebacker Tank Brown, starting safety Angelo Gross, defensive end Zion Young, and starting corner Kari Crump were suspended immediately. They're also taking a look at Jacoby Windham. He was not one of the 4 players suspended. They are still looking at him as to what to do. The player with the nasal injury is defensive back Herman Green. He was punched by a Spartan in the tunnel, might not play this week. Jaden McBurrows was the other one that was, and he was on the ground, being pushed, punched, kicked. And it's crazy. Though, I did look at the video. Green, by the way, Herman Green has hired attorney Tom Mars to represent him in the assault case. Now, the Michigan State Police and the University of Michigan Police are working together on this. Tucker says the school's working with law enforcement. All right. It's unreal. I mean, it's awful. I mean, there's nothing, you know. And then, I hate to do this to Mertzi, love her, but Roquan Smith has been traded by the Bears to the Ravens. A second and a fifth round pick. Wow. Ay. That's two big defensive trades in a week for the Bears. Holy mackerel.